Blog Talk Radio.
Denise Griffiths is your partner in success. Tune in each Friday as virtual assistants, industry expert, web developer, and online entrepreneur Denise Griffiths interviews industry experts from one end of the internet to the other. These expert entrepreneurs freely share their business building knowledge and provide practical guidance that will show you how to build and grow your own very successful business, be it online or traditional brick and mortar. Now, ladies and gentlemen, your partner in success, Denise Griffiths.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to your Partner in Success Radio. Today, I get to welcome to your Partner in Success Radio, Ashley Mahaffey. She is a fitness strategy expert specializing in training speakers and traveling professionals to establish and maintain consistent healthy fitness and food habits, despite their demanding schedules. What does that have to do with business? Everything, and you're going to find out in just a second. Good morning, Ashley, and thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Oh, great, Denise. It's totally my pleasure. I'm excited to be here.
Oh, good. I've been wanting to talk with you for the longest kind of time. We know each other, know of each other, have for a long time through, mutual business acquaintances, and it's exciting for me to actually get to speak with you. So, first of all, if you don't mind, give people a little bit of information about yourself and tell them where they can find you on the internet, and then I've got a ton of questions.
Great, okay. I can be found at Ashley, A-S-H-L-E-Y, and my last name, which is M-A-H-A-F-F, as in Frank, E-Y.com. And I'm also on Facebook and Twitter with those same IDs. And a little bit about my background. I grew up in Connecticut, and I was always involved in sports, and I've always coached college and high school teams successfully. Have brought 7 different teams to championship titles, and they all were kind of average athletes, and then I made them into a successful unit. And a lot of the stuff that I currently do is really working with fitness professionals and moving their businesses forward, and also working with the public, those people that are generally looking for health and fitness strategies to make sure that their lives function at the best possible level, and then so that they can transfer that over into other aspects of their lives, their families, their relationships. All that stuff gets out of the basement and up to the top floor. So that's in a nutshell what I do. I also challenge myself with different races throughout the year, and I just finished one this past weekend, and I'm excited to be on the call with you.
Oh, thank you. I know that one of the things that you have done, several of the things that you've done, and I didn't mention this, is you have been featured in Success Magazine for Women, the New York Times, Psychology Today, and Women in Business 2.0, the movie. So your message is one that's very strong and one that's very, very important, and it does translate into business, and we'll go into that. Because people say, well, what does exercise have to do with business? Pretty much everything. If you don't feel good, Here's my take. If your back hurts, your mind's not working properly, which is an oversimplification. But if you're not moving and you're not, energetic, I just don't think your mind works properly. And I could be dead wrong, but I find that when I'm not exercising properly or getting enough movement in my life, I get sluggish from the head down. Isn't
right.
that kind of the truth?
Oh, it's true. I mean, definitely what you put into your body and into your day affects your life, and especially the businesses. And I have tons of clients that I've worked with that wanted to come to me just to lose a little bit of weight. But what they found was that their energy was increased exponentially, and that their success paid off big in their business, clearly in their revenue jumping, but also just in the partnerships that they were able to attract and how they felt when they went out to networking events, and just how they felt in their personal relationships also, it changes. So, you go in with the mindset that, oh, I just want to lose a few pounds and fit into these clothes. Well, that really is just the top layer. The real center, the core of it is a lot deeper than that. So
right.
I find that it does affect your physical health affects your wealth for sure.
Oh, no question about it. One thing that, and I share this with anybody who, you know, wants to listen, I've got a little rebounder in my office, one of those little mini trampolines.
Mm-hmm.
I've had it for years, and I love that thing. And when, you know, I get to where I'm stuck or I realize that I'm looking at the same piece of text on my screen, and I've been looking at it for 10 minutes, it seems like, I'll just, you know, jump up from my desk, get on that rebounder, and bounce around like a little kid. And I have a ball. And then I can go back to work, and all of a sudden something that, you know, may have just had me going, what the heck? All of a sudden it's in total clarity. I finish the project and move on.
That's great. That's a great use of your time and breaking it up so that you can get your exercise in the middle of the day.
I may get on there 15, 20 times a day. I'm not kidding. It may just be for 3 minutes. It may be for 10 minutes. It may be for half an hour, whatever I feel like doing. But I'm bouncing on that thing all the time. My cats bounce with me.
The funny thing
is, interesting.
That's fun. The great thing about that, Denise, is that you're having a good time. I mean, it's not something that I've got to go to the treadmill again. And that's something that's very important. I tell my clients that they need to find something that's going to be entertaining, because if it's not entertaining and fun, then we're going to stop doing it. It's just we're going to lose the drive to the momentum that we build up. And just like kids, they're not going to do something unless it's fun. So if we can go back to that mindset and make a workout a play out, then it's a different experience.
That's exactly right. I'll crank up the music, grab a cat, and bounce around, and either I get scratched or the cat likes it. Just depends on the cat. I have a good time with it. And then I get to giggling because I know I look silly. I'm bouncing up and down like a 3-year-old. And I get this mental image of myself, and all of a sudden I'm so entertained that I'm laughing and breathing at the same time, which I guess is a good thing. So, Ashley, one of the things that you and I have talked about just briefly is that you've got three must-have keys that you teach champion athletes to use for successful business growth. Can you kind of talk about that a little bit?
Sure. The things that I like to bring to those people that are in business, and I know that's the demographic that's on the phone call right now, so I love talking business. I can, you know, there are people out there that can teach a better person than I can. I mean, I know I can teach a pretty good, very good one, but I get totally jazzed about talking about business because that's where like the fun stuff happens.
Mm-hmm.
So what I found, though, is coming from a successful athletic background and training elite athletes, is that there are so many, there are keys to these winners that can be translated over into our lives in business. And the three keys of champions is, one, their negative mind chatter is managed, not eliminated. I think that a lot of people that are out there telling you, you know, get rid of that negative mindset. But I don't believe that's the case. I don't believe that can happen, because it's always going to creep up. And I mean, you can minimize it, but the best, but it's always going to creep up over the years. And we're just humans. And I think that the one thing that I learned from Dr. Dennis Waitley, who's an amazing human performance psychology expert, and he mentored me when I was in my 20s. He told me, he was like, Ashley, you need to just manage it. When you're getting those thoughts, you need to talk yourself out of it. So I think that is something that I've used in athletics, and I just came off a big race. So, for example, I was doing the swim, and it took a while for the swim part to get started, and I was a little anxious, and I'm like, oh, I can't do this. And right then, you know, I'm better at that because it only took me one negative, you know, self-talk before I was like, wait a minute, I'm going to turn this train around. And for me to say, let me mine for evidence. And mining for evidence is something that is going back in our experiences and looking for the things that will disprove that negative thought. So I can't do this, meaning it was a long swim. It would take me an hour to do it. And but I went back and I said, wait a minute, I've trained, I've done at least double the mileage that I needed to do in this race. I can definitely do that. And so that squashed that thought, and I was able to manage that negative mind chatter. So that's number one. That's what athletes do, and that's what we can do in our business, especially like when you're getting ready to speak or present your content, or you have to stay up late because you have to finish a website or something like that. A lot of the, I might have put too much on my plate. No, some of us thrive under pressure. Some of us are, or that gives us the extra energy. Or maybe it's, but being able to draw on the past successes can also really, really help manage that negative mind chatter. All right, number two, I've found that the champions succeed because of consistent actions and habits. And that's just the plain truth. I mean, you can't just go for the big push one time and think that that's going to solve the, that's going to be the answer to continued success. Darren Hardy in his book, The Compound Effect, and gives the analogy when you're pumping well water, you know, it takes a lot of momentum to get that arm up and down to get that flow that's siphoned so the water's coming out. But all you have to do is kind of tap it a little bit when you see the water starting to lose pressure, and to get the water to maintain that steady flow. So being consistent with our actions and our habits definitely is a key of a champion that I found in athletics and in business. And then the third thing, they have support. They have a coach, a mentor, or a power partner. They have team for sure. I mean, there's no way that I could get my my stuff done without my virtual assistant, and I'm assuming that a lot of people that are on this call are virtual assistants or OBMs or something like that. So we can't do our jobs without our team, and so that's something that I've been able to bring from my athletic experience into my business, making sure that I have support. So thinking about the key, those people that are winners in business, I mean, there's tons of them. Steve Jobs, Oprah, Bill Gates, all those people definitely had those three things: negative control, managing their negative mind chatter, having consistent actions and habits, and of course having support, whether it's a team, coach, a mentor, or a power partner.
And they're also critical. I love what you said about the mind chatter, though, because I think my business coach, I mean, like you say, you have to have teams. I have teams of virtual assistants, web developers. I have a massive team, remarkable team. But I also have a business coach because I don't know what I don't know. And sometimes I get to talking to myself in a way that I wouldn't talk to a stranger. I mean, if I said some things to a stranger that my mind says to me, I'd slap the crap out of somebody, to be honest with you. And, you know, we need to get a little bit brutal with ourselves and say, who do you think you're talking to? And I have gotten in that habit, you know, over many, many years. I just, when that mind chatter starts, and you're right, it will always surface. And then really at about the most inconvenient moment that it can. And I have learned to just take a deep breath, examine the thought, and then have a little mini argument with it and go, oh, I don't think so. Now you go away, and pretty much that works for me. But you're right. You have to really manage it and then manage your own expectations as well. You know, my grandmother used to say to me, if you don't have high expectations of yourself, nobody else will either. She was right.
Right. And the key is that you have a coach. You have someone pulling you up that's holding that vision for your business when you get a little scared. And and so that's great. And that reminds you of, hey, this is the map that we have laid out for your business. So let's, you know, and here's the action. The cool thing about that is that you, even journaling or laying stuff out, you can take the big goals and chunk it down into small little goals along the way. Think of you're running a race. Say it's a marathon. It's a 26 miles. You chunk it down into a mile. That's 26 ticks that you'll be able to check off. And when you get to the 10th mile, like, oh, I can't go another 16 miles. Well, wait a minute. I look back at the success I've already done. 10 of those, I can continue to just bite it off one little mile at a time.
Right.
That's always helpful.
And that can get so confusing. You know, and I'll have days like that. You know, my coach tells me that I'm a high-functioning workaholic. And I thought, oh, that's great. She said, no, it's not so good, but that's another story entirely. But I will find, and you've probably found this too with both yourself and your clients, that you look at your whole day and go, oh, my. And you just instantly start, you know, your chest kind of sinks and you go, ugh. So like you, I just take it and I chunk it up in little pieces, so I'm not going to worry about the whole big ball of wax. I'm going to take
right.
this section and work on this section right now, and everything else can just wait. And it works beautifully for me.
Yeah, you know, that's great advice. One thing that I do is when I'm planning out my week, and it's taken me a while to figure this out and figure out what's going to work best for me. But there are five steps champions in sport and business use that really helps manage our schedule. And I've broken them down. There are five of them. One is plan. Two is action. Three is action review. Four is course correct. And five is accountability. And I'll go through those one by one for a quick second. So if you know that you have a website due by the end of the week, and let's just assume it's like a five-page simple website or something, and you're going to map out the plan, because that's your big goal. You're going to plan it, what you're going to be doing, what needs to get done. And then what I do is I assign, so you have five pages that you need to get done. You need to get the content, you need to get the images, and you need to, buy the hosting, there's two other things. And then what I do is I take those big five things that are going to actually, those five mini goals, and I create actions for each one of those things. And those actions for each one of those things will fill in on the 5 to 7 days that you work. It depends, you know. So that I don't have to look at the whole website. I've broken it down. What are the big chunks? And then what are the actions that it will take to finish each of those big chunks? And that's what I'm going to do that day. So I don't actually really, I must say, I don't get overwhelmed by my day, because I must most days. I mean, sometimes I do, of course.
But it does happen.
Yes, of course. And
then I get on my rebounder and giggle.
And then
I do. I jump around and go, well, okay, now I feel better. Back to work.
Right. Well, that's great. I mean, that's definitely relieves the stress. But the good thing is that you have it mapped out, and you can just, you don't, even though it looks overwhelming, you know that you don't have to focus on the end. You're focusing on those little actions that will get to the end. So that obviously gives you relief when you freak out a little for a second. It does for me. And then at the end of the week, what I do is I will have an action review. I'll go back, and I actually do this with a partner on the phone. One of my friends, we do it every Friday for 30 minutes from 12 to 12:30, and we will go through all the actions and create either it's a win or it's a loss, and then we'll course correct, which is the fourth step, what things will we fix for next week, and then that is the fifth step is accountability. So that is the accountability that I have. So making sure that you're having those five steps covered can really help you with your time management and focus for those people that are listening to this.
Absolutely. And my business coach serves that function. You know, we'll talk about what I'm going to be doing for the week, and then when I speak with her next, we go through a checklist. What happened? What didn't happen? Where do you need to, as you say, course correct? It has been invaluable for me, because it's easy if we're trying to do all this on our own to go, I'm busy, I'll get back to it. But if you have a buddy, a partner, a business coach who is holding you accountable, you tend to kind of go, I better knock this off my list so I don't embarrass myself.
Right. And that's, you know, I'm just listening to you, and I've definitely invested in coaching over the years, and I can tell you that is the best investment in your success, is to hire somebody that will will an interview. I mean, I definitely have interviewed different coaches, but somebody that's been where you want to, that's been where you want to go, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And the investment.
And here's the good thing about a great coach: they don't listen to you and let you make excuses. My coach will say, "Well, why didn't you?" And I have to go, "Ah." And I hate that. I feel like I've been called up in front of the principal, and I don't like that feeling, none. So
right.
Just to hold myself accountable, and so I don't really shame myself in front of somebody that I'm paying good money to, you know, pull me out of a rut if I need, I do the work. But here's the thing. It's just, it's not even that I'm going to be embarrassed. I just feel better when I do it. So I can go to my coach and say, all right, this got knocked off the list. You know, I was pretty happy about this. This one I probably could have let it go, but what's next? So there's that constant anticipation. What's next? Where are we going now? And I love that feeling.
Right, right. And the other good thing is I'm coaching these 21 women in business right now, and what they're doing is what we at the top of the week I have them set out their five big goals, and they're you know, you work with Todd Durkin, and he is in the fitness industry, so he's someone that really pushes this strategy for his own success, and he and those people that he mentors, is, you know, setting out your I wills and or your big mm-hmm. five. And he says I will, because the I will part means I will do, you know, the index page of this website. It's not like I will work on the website. I will finish the index page of the website, or I will work 20 minutes three times a week on the website. But it has to be something that you know that you can accomplish, and that you know that it's going to be, that is measurable. But just saying I'm going to work on something without a time or some kind of way to measure is not a good way to move forward.
And I don't know if you noticed, Ashley, when you said I will, your voice changed. You probably sat up a little straighter, your voice changed, there was more emphasis. I noticed it.
Yeah,
there's a big difference between saying, well, I should do this, or, you know, this can go on the list, and saying, I will. There's a whole, your body changes, your physiology changes a little bit, I think.
You're right. I think you're right. And I think that the huge thing is, going back to accountability, I don't know what the percentage would be as far as, you know, success and follow through, but I think that at least 75% or 50%, greater success if you have accountability on setting up your I wills for the week or your big five. So even if it's, you know, you can't, you haven't allocated the funds for a coach, finding someone that you can meet with regularly on the phone for 15 minutes on your business and 15 minutes on the other person's business really will help. And commit to that for 8 weeks and just see what how you move forward.
And the commitment part is most important. It's so easy to say, well, I'm busy, let's do it, you know, tomorrow. Hold that date. You know, when you make those dates and those commitments, hold to them. Otherwise, you've just wasted both people's time.
Right. And the other cool thing, because I'm sure your listeners are techie, that I use Google Docs. We share a Google Doc, and we'll set up a table so that we'll have the columns, the wins, the losses, and that'll be on one page. And then we'll have, and then the fixes will be another column on that page. But then another page we'll set up will be a calendar format, so that we can, we can, with 7 days, and then another column for typing in all of your the five I wills for the week. So it's neat to kind of see the other person's, you know, as they're moving along. And she's not doing it. I'm like, I'll like email her, like, look, I haven't seen you enter anything. It's already Wednesday. What's going on?
Where are you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a terrific idea. And to be honest with you, for the longest kind of time, I didn't have a coach. And, you know, and I would catch myself wondering why. Because, you know, I'm a smart aleck. I know it all, obviously. I couldn't figure out why I needed somebody to tell me what to do. And as it turns out, that's not at all what coaching is. But eventually, I somehow stumbled into having a coach. And I don't know that I'll ever be without one. It is an amazing process.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's something that I just find so critical to my success and to be honest with you, my focus. So I don't know. I just don't see ever being without a coach of some description for the rest of my business life or mental or both.
Exactly. I mean, it's more than because you're motivated enough to get it done. It's just that you have so many moving pieces and parts that you need someone to have a fresh pair of eyes to, like, show you, like, make the vision, you know, stir the pot to make it a little bit, you know, actually not stir the pot, just to make it clear for you to see what how the pieces can fit together. When my eyes are so close to it, it's hard.
It is, and in my industries, we tend to work in a vacuum almost. You know, I own two small companies. One is a web development company. The other one is virtual assistants, and actually they ran off and got married, so it's all now one company. But I tend to not leave my home very often. My office is in my home. It's beautiful. It looks much better than a lot of professional offices I've been in. I'm very comfortable, and I have access to my kitchen. If I get bored, I go cook. Yeah, it's. I mean, I love working from my home, but it can get very isolating if you're not careful.
Yeah, and I work at home also, and I have my office set up, you know, nicely. It's exactly how I want it. But I find that if I'm really working on something and I want to have focus, I have to remove myself and I'll go to Starbucks. And
really, I haven't tried that.
Yeah, I do, and because I have no other distractions, I have nothing else that I'm looking at, and I know that there's some coaching companies out there that say, you know, you shouldn't even have a desk in your office, so there's, you know, no place to put your junk. So if you're working on your computer, you would take it into the dining room, you know, so it's not going to be the desk which has all the junk on it, or all the, you know, even just a couple of, like, even a wall calendar can be distracting.
Right. Well, that's true. Because my whiteboard is right above my dual monitors. And, you know, your eyes move around. You'll be working on something, and as a thought, you know, ticks into your head, your eyes shift with it. And I'll look up that whiteboard and freeze, go, oh, gosh, oh, gosh. So I may have to remove that because it's a constant reminder of my to-do list.
Mm-hmm.
And I have noticed that it really is distracting because it stops me.
Right.
Briefly. I mean, I get over it, but I have to, you know, okay, go back to work now. It's kind of annoying.
Right.
I think I will remove it.
And I've even just moved mine to the side. It's amazing. Move it to the side, and then if I need some more accountability or for some more focus, I'll get an egg timer out and chunk it down to 15-minute segments.
Right, right. And the truth is that it's very difficult to retain any kind of focus for more than, you know, about 15 minutes anyway, I have found. You know, particularly I'm always working in very highly technical things. I'm working, you know, with websites and WordPress and Infusionsoft. And after a while, your brain just shuts down. You have to get up and move a little bit. I am constantly moving. I mean, I'm working all of the time. But I'm actually in motion as much as I'm sitting. You know, I've work 15 minutes, I get up, I go hug a cat, work another 15 minutes, and, you know, I don't consciously do that, but I can tell when my mind is glazing over, so to speak. Yeah, you know, I may just get up and go stick my nose against a window, see if it's raining outside, go back to work. But it starts my brain working again, so I'm constantly up and down, up and down, up and down all day long.
Right, that's definitely... I find, and I'm moving a lot too. I don't really sit for long periods of time unless I'm, you know, doing a coaching call or something like that. But yeah, it's amazing, really, how much time it takes to get your stuff done. It's actually shorter. It's just that we get distracted. So focus is huge.
Right. Well, Ashley, the top 7 champion lines to live by. What are those? I've heard you talk about that in other arenas. What do you mean by that?
Well, they're just they're quotes that I've or statements that I've heard or that I've just used for a long time in my life that have helped me, and I pass it on to those people that I work with. And I think the first thing is that when you're is I want to make sure that everybody knows that you don't just because the person next to you or your mentor has achieved great success, that it doesn't mean that you won't. It just might take you, you have to pay your dues and put in the time to get there. And so I will pass on this one. Every winner was first a beginner. And I love that one because if I'm tackling a new skill or something like that, I need to remind myself that it's going to take the time and, you know, for me to get the skill set to be, you know, proficient in that. So every winner was first a beginner, and that was Dr. Dennis Whaley. Get your mind right. That was that's something that Todd says, Todd Durkin.
I know.
And I love that.
Aha.
Yeah. And
I
love that one. Yeah. And you know, I don't know what percentage of women are on your list here, but I'm going to tell you that I work with a lot of women. And one thing that I've that's come up a lot in this this forum that I'm monitoring is there were some sensitive issues that were coming along that people were getting a little bit taking things personally it was happening to them in their business with their clients. And I said, you know what, Todd always says, get over it next. Like they were being turned down by proposing certain coaching packages or something like that to their clients, and they're feeling, you know, bummed that they got some negatives, some no's. And Todd always says, get over it next. Like, don't hang on to that. Move on.
Right.
So that's another one that I like. Get over it next.
Mm-hmm.
And then
yeah, and he's right, too. You can't take any of it personally unless it's easy to take it personally. And honestly, it doesn't even make sense. And we can talk about that in a bit. But go ahead and finish. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Oh, yeah. And then last one, best one. I've used that forever. Meaning it's like the end of, you know, my day, and I look at the 3 to 5 little goals that I've, action steps that I've had planned out, and I just don't want to do that last one. I just don't. I just, last one, best one, meaning I'm going to give the best effort. I'm going to get that thing done. And so that one always helped me. And then get 1% better every day. You know, that 1 degree, that 212 book, you know, where water is actually goes into boiling and creates steam from 211 to 212 degrees Fahrenheit.
Right.
And that makes a whole difference. You know, that's just 1 degree. So if we can better ourselves and not striving for being our best, but getting better, I think that's something that we can all do. And it's not as overwhelming. The other one is that don't let someone else outwork you is another one that I love. You know, whenever I'm thinking, gosh, like I can't do that. I don't want to do that last. Maybe I'm working out and I'm training for something. I don't want to do that last set. If I say to myself, don't let someone else outwork you, like I don't want somebody else to get better than me, then that motivates me.
Mm-hmm.
So we can use that in our businesses. You know, if I'm lazy, and I know I should be making 3 to 5 calls each day for new business, you know, if I decide to like slack off, I'll say that to myself, like, don't let someone else outwork you. And then the last one is, what's the best question I can ask myself right now? I use that one a lot. And I put that in there as my champion lines, even though it's not my motivator or an inspiration, but it's something that, when I'm getting stuck and I'm looking around in my office and I'm feeling like I'm overwhelmed and I don't have enough time, I need to, you know, I had allocated an hour and now it's 20 minutes left because I was messing around and going on rabbit holes. What am I going to do?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
What's the best question I can ask myself right now? And it will, because our minds are those search engines. And it will find the answer if you ask it a great question. So the best question, and always, the question has to start with, obviously, who, what, where, when, where, and how, kind of. And then a timeline, because you have to be able to, your brain will have to measure it. So what is so it's your index page that you had to finish. And, you know, so I have 20 minutes left. What are the best 2 points that I can write about in the next 20 minutes? And so that would be something that I will come up with an answer. you know, I don't write index page content, but I'm sure that people that do and have that issue would come up with the problem, I mean, with the answer to that problem.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
that will move us forward. And for me, in my, when I'm coaching my clients that are actually fitness clients, I would say, you know, okay, what is the best exercise that you can do in 2 minutes? And they'll come up with an answer. Maybe it's jumping jacks. Maybe it's sit-ups on a ball. Or maybe it's on your rebounder. Even though they weren't able to get that full workout in.
Yeah, there's always something. I'll share with you one of the questions that I ask myself every day at some point, sometimes many times a day, and it's similar to the one of the questions that you ask yourself. And mine is, what truth am I not seeing now? There's always something that's lurking at the corner of your eye, the periphery of vision, and you have to go look for it sometimes. And if I hit a brick wall, and I hit them, I do, I'll stop and say, what truth am I not seeing now? Because everything is a truth.
Mm-hmm.
It may not be a truth that you like, but it's a truth. So you have to really just kind of look around and say, ah, there you are. Come on out. Let's chat.
Right, right.
And it works for me, you know, because I just don't allow myself to hide behind an excuse or, I'll do it later. I just don't allow myself to hide because I can waste a lot of time letting myself just hide from things. So I don't do it anymore. Haven't done it for years.
That's
sometimes
great.
You have to get pretty brutal with yourself. But you know, once you establish that habit, it's actually quite easy.
Yeah, that's great that you can that you found a question that will move you out of a stuck place.
That's exactly right. You know, sometimes I have to just sit there quietly and go, well darn. But the answer always comes because now it's in my subconscious, and my subconscious will review it and provide an answer.
Right. Exactly.
It works. It works
That's
for
a
me.
Great one.
Yeah. I actually, once I discovered it, I thought, well, darn, how come nobody taught me this? But, you know, now I know it. So, Ashley, I know you work with a lot of elite athletes, so... what do winners do? We've talked about negative mind chatter. We all do it. I mean, you know, I'll get up in the morning and go, bad hair or something. You know, we all do it. We look in the mirror and go, oh, darn, or, you know, there's always something. What do elite athletes do to just really manage that negative chatter? Because it's part of who we are. It doesn't go away. I don't care what anybody says.
Right. Well, what I found to work is basically if you're using those five steps that I was talking about, the planning, the action review, et cetera, and you have accountability built in, then you're going to have these success markers, and you're going to be able to have the evidence to disprove that negative mind chatter. So that's, again, I talked about that a little bit earlier. So that's what I use, that's what I know that that winning athletes use, is they use their past successes to build the confidence to move them forward so that when they do have those thoughts, they're fleeting. They're not going to stick. And but if you don't have the actual athletics is so cool because you actually will have measures. And if we don't put that in our business, if we just keep doing action steps without logging them and having timelines to them and keeping record of them, then we're not going to be able to go back and review how many successes that we've done. So that's why that's why it's really important to have keep track of that on a daily basis. So there might be a day, and especially with me, I'm a mom with two young kids, and, you know, if my husband has to go and do some appointment late or something like that, I'll have a lot. I won't have help in the evening with the kids, and I feel like at the end of the day that maybe I didn't get as much done as I wanted to, and I'll kind of might be like, oh, you know, I didn't do much. What did you do today, Ashley? And
Do you go to bed and go, what the heck did I do all day long? And that's never a good feeling.
No, and it, but the thing is, what I can do is I can go back quickly. It used to be a hardbound book, and I still actually am happy. I take this little hardbound notebook, and I write down my goals, my action steps for the day. And I'll go back and I'll flip that thing open and just go like, oh, mm-hmm. yeah, I did all five of them. I did do something. And I did do exactly what I had planned to do, and that is going to be pulling me towards my bigger goals. So when I have that evidence to disprove that negative thought. So
there's something about the written word. I keep an online journal, believe it or not. I have I type so fast. My brain cannot keep up with my fingers. I mean, I can't write fast enough to get it all down. So I type everything. I type in my sleep. I've done it since I was, 14 or 15 years old. My fingers are always moving. I'm typing in my sleep. It's the weirdest thing. I don't know. Maybe that's why I became a web developer when I grew up. I need a keyboard. But one thing that I have done is I've kept this. It's a piece of software. I think I paid $49 for it years ago. I can go back this date 10 years ago and figure out exactly what I was doing. Maybe a paragraph, it may be a whole dissertation, but all of a sudden memories come, things that I totally forgot, plans that I might have had, goals that I might have had, and, you know, things that took place that day, and I'm like, oh, it is the neatest thing. So my suggestion is if you don't journal at any level, even if it's just keeping a day book and, you know, looking at your appointments a few days down the road or years down the road, those one short sentence can take you right back to that day. And you can remember how you felt and what your goals were. The software is, you can go online, let me look at it. It is called, and I love this, Ashley, you have no idea, I journal every day. It is called The Journal, period, The Journal 5. And it's by a guy named Michael, I'll send you the link for it. I'll find it. But you can just go online and type in The Journal. And I think it's $49. It's a one-time fee. And it's amazing. I can go back and see what I've done for years. It's astonishing.
Very cool.
I can type it so fast, and I can, you know, I can take screen captures. I can dump pictures in there. You can't really do that in a binder or a journal. It just suits me because I'm a techie. I'm a true techie. But, I mean, I can dump all kinds of stuff in this journal. I can look at Christmas pictures that I dumped in there. I can, you know, I may have found a cartoon that I thought was cute. Or you never know what's going to show up in the pages of this thing. But I can go back and go, whoa, I said I was going to do that and I did it. Or I can go back and go, what the heck was I thinking? So it's just, it's a great journey, and it's an amazing business tool.
Huh, that's cool.
Yeah, The Journal. Yeah. Just look for The Journal, and his name is... You found it? Very cool.
Yeah,
the
website is David R, the letter R, the letter M, .com.
Mm-hmm. That's it. That's the one. Try it. I think you'll really, really like it. And you can do a search, you know, if you think, okay, was I working on Todd Durkin that day? What was I working on? You know, you're in my journal. You're in my journal from yesterday talking with Ashley tomorrow. I mean, you just never know. I can type in a keyword and I can find all the journal entries for that keyword. So for me, it's a time, you know, I use it for both personal and business. Huge time saver for me.
Wow.
But a great business tool.
Okay, speaking of business tools, I want to ask you, I'm drawing a blank on it, but what's the business tool that you can actually, software, and you can take a picture of a receipt with your smartphone, and it will put it into the correct categories, I believe, so that you don't have to, it'll make your bookkeeping a lot more simple.
I do. It's a little machine, I think, isn't it?
No, it's not.
Yeah. I do, and I'm like you, I'm drawing a blank. Well, let's keep talking. It'll come to me.
Yeah.
It's not something that I've used, but I do know people who have used it.
Right, okay, sorry.
But, yeah, there are a lot of efficiency tools that, you know, these days we move so fast and so furious, it's nice to have them. It really is. Now my journal wants to back up because I opened it. Okay, so winners. We talked about winners and negative mind chatter, so, so important. But here's what I want to find out from you. How do you build success muscles in your business that are going to last? And what, for the people who don't know what we're talking about or may have just joined us, what is a success muscle in your mind?
All right. So basically, and again, it's all taking, taking all the lessons that I've learned from athletes and coaching them and also being an athlete is that we know that once we have take the hurdler, the example of the hurdler or the high jumper, you know, that you set the bar low and then you jump over it and you're like, okay, that's good, I feel good about that. And then you raise the bar and then you can jump over that and then you feel, all right, I feel confident and I can
right.
Let's go raise it up a little bit higher. So moving ourselves from down the basement to the top floor, you can't do it in one shot. It has to be, you have to have, well, most people have to have these little incremental success markers, which will build the confidence to move forward. And, you know, which makes me think, you know, my own brain is my journal for now, because I remember 20 years ago I was coaching a team back on the East Coast, and I did an exercise with them where I put a dollar bill on a chain link fence, and I put it low. And I said, all right, I want you to tag that dollar bill and grab that thing out of there. Well, all 23 people grabbed it. And then I moved it a little bit higher, and they all got it again. And then I moved it a little bit higher, and almost all of them got it again. Then I put a $50 bill up 18 inches higher. I mean, I made a bigger jump.
Mm-hmm.
And there were people that tagged that $50 bill. And there was no way that they would have been able to do it from the very first jump. But the fact is that they built those success success muscles by jumping, you know, the lower levels first. So if we can do that in our we can do that in our businesses. And how we do that is by setting up like those incremental steps, those small goals on a daily basis. And every time we check that off, that builds the confidence that we can continue to move forward. You know, if you've never, just like you cannot just say, oh, I can't fulfill this 5-page website if you've never built one before. Well, yeah, you can. Let's just start off with, you know, doing
one. You have
one
to start.
Right.
I know when I first, you know, started with a business coach, I mean, I was completely and totally overwhelmed. I'd started this new business, and it mushroomed. I mean, I just went, oh, my God, now what do? I had not prepared for growth. Don't know why, but I just hadn't. And I was completely and totally overwhelmed. And one thing that she told me, Ashley, and it made so much sense, that I actually just sat down and went, well, yeah. I mean, it was just so easy that I guess my brain couldn't wrap my – I just couldn't come up with it on my own. It was too simple. What she said was, she said, Denise, I know that you think you're looking at a big ball of yarn right now, and you are. You've got this big, giant bundle of stuff that you need to do. But she said, there's only two ends to that piece of string. One is buried deep inside, and the other one's somewhere on the outside. Pull that piece of string. There's only one piece. I went, oh. It was so simple. I felt like an idiot. I really
That's
did.
Great,
it
though.
Was just so simple. And she said, just pull the string. There's only one place you can start. So every time I get a little bit overwhelmed, I look for that one place that I need to start, and there I go. You know, I'm
right.
not looking at the whole thing going, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. I just find that piece of string and yank on it.
That's a great visual. I love that.
Yeah, and it works for me. So I've always got this big ball of yarn in my head that I'm looking for that little piece. Where is it? Come on, I need to find you so I can go to work. It
right,
works
right.
for me. Yeah.
That's great. And you were asking also, just talking about building those success muscles, and you know, you're pulling up that one piece of yarn, and so that you know that you just have to
yeah.
keep pulling. Every pull is a success. But what I've also done at the top of the call is talking about moving ourselves physically and how that you know, fuels you so that you can go and do great things in your business. And I know that when we and my clients have challenged ourselves past what we think is possible physically, we experience big wins. Something physically changes when you think that you can only run a 10-minute mile and you can get it down to a 9-minute mile. I mean, something happens. So exercise or sport builds champions in business and life. I mean, it's and you don't have to go out and run a race or, do anything that's going to be, past where you are right now for your starting point. But moving your body and taking care of your health and nutrition will propel your business. It's just the fact. And
I agree.
And so making sure that you have a plan and not just like, oh, I think I'm gonna I'll do 20 minutes of walking today. Well, what is that 20 minutes of walking going to end up? Like, where's the end goal? So I'm making sure that you have that all organized and mapped out is really important. And that's what I do with my clients. So if anybody wants a little bit of help, just email me and I can kind of set something up for you. But it's important that you do take care of yourself physically and with the nutrition. I find that people are starting their day with a cup of coffee and a meal.
Yeah.
And if the calories might be low, that fuel is not going to get you past 2 hours.
I'm even worse than that, and you're welcome to yell at me, but I don't eat breakfast. Go ahead, yell, Todd.
I hope you eat it 3 a.m. or something.
No, I don't.
Oh,
I have been forcing myself to at least drink. I know. My stomach does not like breakfast. It won't eat, to be honest with you, it won't keep it down. I cannot keep a meal down in the morning. Mm-hmm. It just won't stay down. So I've gotten to the point where I at least drink a V8.
Mm-hmm.
Is that acceptable or no?
Well, it's got a lot of sodium in it, and it has no protein and no fat. So honestly, could you do a hard-boiled egg?
No. I've tried everything. I've tried yogurt. I've tried it. I just don't like breakfast. My stomach doesn't like breakfast.
Well, that it doesn't like breakfast because something's not physically probably right.
I've been this way my whole life. I never have been able to eat breakfast.
The other thing is making sure that you're fueling your body with healthy fats, because that if you can ingest 10 to 15 grams of omega-3s in liquid form would be, or even a frozen capsule at night before you go to bed, which would help if you have a problem with if it repeats on you.
Really? A frozen capsule? Why is that?
Because it will break down when you're sleeping, and if you normally belch it, you won't have any symptoms. But I usually take it after dinner. But don't buy it at Costco. Buy it at Whole Foods or some kind of store like that. And then the other thing is, because those omega-3s will help restore your nervous system, and which helps with lean muscle mass, hair, and all of your other functions. So rebuilding nerve function is huge. That's the first step I take when I'm working with my clients. So get those omega-3s in.
Let me see what time we've got here. We've got a few minutes. I know we've been talking about business, but you are an expert in fitness. And those of us who are working at home, we're working in our home offices, it's easy to just work hard, fast, frantic, furious, do whatever we need to do, make our clients happy, make ourselves happy. And I am hearing from a lot of my, not necessarily team members, but, people who I mentor or coach are saying, I don't feel good half the time. And when I start asking, well, what do you do to take care of yourself? Well, nothing much. I'm busy. Okay.
Right.
So now what I want you to do is talk to my people, the people who come to me and say, yeah, my back hurts, my head hurts, I'm not able to focus, blah, 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 blah. And I tell them, I know what's wrong with you. You're not moving. You're not taking your vitamins. You're probably not eating breakfast, which I'm guilty of myself, and I know that, but... Do you mind addressing some of those? Because people that I work with, coach or mentor, are largely, at this point in their career, their life, sedentary, which is not good. Not good. So I would love for you to address those people, if you don't mind.
Sure. I mean, I love talking about this stuff, too. I mean, it's just, you know, part of the other half of my life. So, I would say, and you know, my virtual assistant, Deirdre, she was the same way. She sits a lot, too, because, I mean, she's in the boat with all you guys, you know, working at your computers. And
when we work all the time. I mean, we're not 9 to 5.
Right.
I mean, when I'm working with Todd, as you know, Todd and I launched a website at 3 o'clock in the morning. He was walking into the 700 Club to record, and he called me from the tarmac out there, the pavement, and said, pull the trigger. It's 3 o'clock in the morning, but you do what you have to do.
You do. You're right. And I think that the thing is that we all go through two cycles. We go through a high performance cycle, and then we have a recovery cycle. So you know that you had to stay and you had to finish the that Todd Durkin site before, in the impact page, before he had to get on that show.
You knew what was going on. See, nobody else would have known that. You know exactly what I was talking about.
Right.
That was an insane time.
Yeah, it was. And so you have to, but then you knew that, you know, after that you probably had at some point, I don't know when, maybe it might not have been the next day, but you were able to kind of have a little bit of a recovery built in. You're not going to work at that pace for 365 days a year. And then within each day, we have our high performance cycles and our recovery cycles. So I know that my best times, and I would say these people that are on the phone, is in the call radio, is that if you can figure out when your peak performance hours are, use those, designate those, and block those out if possible, and then the other hours of your day are your recovery cycle. So make sure that you have a clear definition that you're just not letting your work come into your family time at night. And sometimes, I helped this one girl this week. She's getting married, and she said, you know, my business is exploding, but my fiance doesn't understand because I'm working all the time at night. And I said, pick two nights where you tell him that from 8 to 10 p.m. you're going to be doing work. And his other nights, you're not going to do it. And so that he knows what to expect. So that's something that's helpful. But as far as what I would say physically with your bodies to get the energy to fulfill what you guys need to do and feel good while you're doing it, I would probably first focus on the nutrition, because you can't ask your body to do something that physically if it doesn't have the nourishment to do it. So what I like to say is to take three things. One, I would ask you to minimize or eliminate gluten products for 21 days. I'm not saying forever, but commit to 21 days. Because I've found that is a protein that in breads and pastas and in wheat cereals, that it's hard for us to digest. We might not be full-blown celiac, but we might. But it causes a lot of bloating, and that last 8 to 10 pounds might be because of that. I can't tell you how many fitness professionals have come to me and said, you know, I know that you know stuff more nutrition than I do. So help me. And Trina Gray is pretty well known leader in fitness. And
she's part of the whole Todd Durkin thing too.
Yeah, she was trying to do a video shoot last year, so I said, look, there's no special pill. There's nothing like that. Just take that one food, gluten, the protein, out of your diet. And she did it in 10 days. She lost 6.5 pounds.
Wow.
And it wasn't fat. She didn't change her exercise. It was water mostly and inflammation. It causes inflammation in our bodies. If you've got osteoarthritis, I guarantee you. If you've got migraines, I guarantee you. Eliminate that gluten for 21 days, and then add back for 4 days.
See, I do. You know, am prone to migraines. I didn't even think about that. I always thought they were just stress triggered.
No, Yeah, maybe. I mean, maybe, yes. Stress will cause migraines for sure. And if you're not sleeping, you know, allowing your body to rest mm-hmm. for 8 hours. That doesn't mean you sleep, but to rest. And that means just, you know, quietly, even if you have to break it up in the middle of the day.
Absolutely. One thing that you said earlier made perfect sense to me. And for those of you who are in the chat room, the show is about to stop streaming, but it will be available for download in just a few minutes, and you'll be able to hear the tail end of the show. And Ashley, if you would, I would love to get you back at the first of the year so we can talk more about this topic.
Yes.
I think it's so important.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Great. So anyway, those of you who are listening now, don't go away. You can download it just a bit. We are running out of time. But one thing that you said, Ashley, just a minute ago is, you know, figure out when your down times are. And how did you put it? Your recovery time and your high peak? Is that what
yes.
you said?
Yes.
It dawned on me some years ago that because I am a high-functioning workaholic, and I like it that way, but I have determined what hours of the day where I'm just not really a high-functioning anything. And I found that early morning is very good for me. And about after 8 o'clock at night, I can go from 8 till midnight. And I can crank out the darndest work in those hours. But, you know, it took me a long time to figure out those were good hours for me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And I do listen to my body. And, you know, I may take a few hours here and there during the day to, you know, clean my house, wash the car, whatever I feel like doing. Because
right.
I do need to physically move. But
right.
I cannot sit in a chair for 18 hours a day.
No.
You know, I have determined, that, you know, listening to my body, knowing when my high and lows are, that I can really work at a high-functioning level.
Right. That's good that you're able to determine that. And everybody can if they actually thought about figuring that out themselves. But let me just tell you that the last thing besides adding the taking out the gluten and then adding fish oil, and I would say you know, anything that has EPA and DHA. My favorite brand is Carlson's, just adding like to double the amount that they tell you to for the serving, for
mm-hmm.
sure, or would be great. So probably 2 teaspoons is what 1 teaspoon is what they recommend. So take 2 teaspoons. Or double the capsules that they tell you to take. And then the other thing that I say is I recommend to my clients to have a meal replacement shake. And because I think that we are having weak meals, and I tell them, look, take a meal replacement shake and take it on your weakest meal of the day. And for most people, it's breakfast. And it gives it's easy for them to shake it up and gives it, they can take it right at their mix it with a little bit of whatever they want to mix it with, and then it's got proteins and the carbohydrates that they need to start their day. So if any of your listeners want any more tips like that, just email me Ashley@AshleyMahaffey.com and put in the subject line Denise. And then I can get back to you. Or
great.
Just write
thank
me.
You.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the. Thank you so much, because I'm sure people will be emailing you. I will be emailing you, because breakfast is a serious stumbling block for me.
Yeah.
Ashley, we're out of time, and I'm so appreciative that you were here with me today. You've given some really great information on both business and health, and I can't make the distinction between the two. If you're not healthy, it's hard to be a business person. So I know that everybody appreciates it as much as I do, and I'm really looking forward to getting you back in maybe February, you know, January, February, to continue the conversation. So thank you so much.
Sure. Have a great day. Thanks.
Well, you too. Well, listen, everybody, thank you for being here. The show will be available for download in about 10 or 15 minutes. And this is Denise Griffiths and Ashley Mahaffey wishing you a wonderful weekend, and I'll see you next week. Thanks, Ashley.